All right. Well, today we're continuing the Gospel of Matthew. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, we are in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. As we've been working our way through it, we'll continue to go through it until we get done with it. So I imagine at least through the rest of this year. And in chapter 7, it's part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. But chapter 7 is a series of small kind of proverbs, like little teachings, little kind of nuggets of wisdom that sometimes kind of integrate into an overall theme of love and trust. And so we're going to be looking at one today. But before we get into it, I want to share a little bit about when I was a young believer back in the late 80s, well, mid to late 80s, there was a big scandal in Christianity in the United States involving these two folks who are Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. And just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever heard of these folks? A couple of you. So they ran this kind of religious empire in the south of the United States. They had a TV show called the PTL Club. PTL stood for Praise the Lord. So it was the Praise the Lord Club. And in it, a lot of preaching of the health and wealth gospel. There was kind of a entertainment empire built around it, too, that involved even amusement parks and hotels. And it all eventually fell apart due to accusations of adultery and also of real estate fraud. And the guy, eventually goes to jail. They end up getting divorced. She remarries another guy and tries to start another church and eventually passed away from cancer. But he is still alive and he's out of jail. And when he was in jail, after he got out of jail, he wrote a book, and the book was called I Was Wrong. And it's an interesting book because if you know kind of his story, a more truthful title would be I Was Wrong, Except in the Areas That I Don't Think I Was. But in the book, he talks about the fact that he had never read the Bible until he was in jail. His whole time when he was this on TV teacher, preacher that people were following, sending money to, building this big empire, amusement parks, hotels, all in this name of Jesus, he had never read the Bible. And he goes on to explain what happened, that he was kind of caught up in the show business around Christianity. And he just trusted what other people told him he should say. And so he began to preach what we call the health and wealth gospel, which says God wants you to be rich, God wants you to be healthy, and if you're not, there's something wrong with you. And he had never really dug into the Word to see, you know, what Jesus taught about things. And he was shocked at how many things that he had been teaching that were wrong when he finally read the Bible. And I've always found that kind of interesting, that a person would have so much fame, so much money, this huge, you know, following of people, and yet he's preaching a gospel that he doesn't even know himself, that he's never even read himself. And when I was a young believer, I thought that this was just kind of an anomaly, that a person like this was unusual. Unfortunately, I've found over the years that when one goes down, another pops up, and there's false teachers and false teachings all over the place, and they're continuous. They never really seem to go away. These folks exist everywhere. They're the wolves in the sheep's clothing. And this is a little cartoon showing that, the sheep that's the puppet saying, peace be with you, God will prosper you. Because it is a joke, it is a lie, and it leads people into places of hell. And when I was a young believer, I wanted to go out and argue against every single one of these guys. I wanted to kind of stand on a hilltop and shout out that these are false teachers. Until I realized, first of all, they never go away. And then secondly, this has been an issue in the scriptures, not just back in the time of the early church, but even before that, where you had false prophets in the Old Testament. This is nothing new. This is a fairly common thing, which tells us something about our enemy. We have an enemy who is Satan, and he's not very creative. He just kind of uses the same tricks over and over and over again, because we're dumb enough as people to fall for them over and over and over again. I mean, why change something if it's working? And so he just uses the same thing. He brings in false teachers, people fall for it, and they get led off the path. And in the letters of Paul, he talks about different types of teachers. Some of them are false prophets. Some of them are just there for bad reasons. He says this, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing that is in every way, whether false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So here Paul's talking about people that aren't necessarily teaching false things, but their attitude is really not to glorify Christ, but it is to cause problems for Paul. But the Apostle Peter, he really lays it out there, and he says this: "But there are also false prophets among the people," speaking about the early church, "just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories that they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." Here he's talking about people who are not just teaching the gospel, maybe teaching truth, but out of bad motivation. Here he's talking about people who are just plain up lying. They're lying to you. They're lying to other people because the response they get from other people is one that they benefit from. In fact, he talks about in their greed, they will exploit you with stories they've made up. Stories like, well, God told me that he wants to prosper you. And when he told me that he wants to prosper you, that means that you need to take a step of faith. And if you want to be prosperous in your finances, then the step of faith you need to take is to write a check or to do a bank transfer. And you need to make it so large that it hurts, because sacrifice isn't sacrifice unless it hurts. It's not really taking a step of faith unless it's something that you have to rely on God for. So if you only have 1,000 euros left in your account, you need to sign over at least 900 of that so that it's really a step of faith. And here's my bank account number. Yeah, this is what they'll do. Or, I had a vision of God. I saw him. And this is what he said: "Behold, I am the chosen one to bring you the gospel. And the gospel has changed because we are more enlightened now than we were back then. And the truth is, I am the incarnate Jesus Christ, second coming. Hallelujah." And if you think these things are exaggerations, they're not. You find these heresies and stories all over the world. People claiming to be the second coming of Christ. People claiming that if you want to grow in Christ, you need to give them their money or your bodies or whatever it is that they want. And this is widespread. And there's some folks that, frankly, some folks here in this church listen to online because they tell me about it, and these are not good teachers. And I know you don't like to hear it because this person has lifted you up, made you feel good, but they're not good teachers. And let me give you an example. The one that a lot of folks listen to is Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer is not someone to be listening to. I know some of you love your Joyce Meyer. She's a false prophet, straight up. And if you want to find out why, look it up. It's there online. I can even give you links that you need to go to. There's some truth in what she says, and then there's some just complete heresy. And Jesus warns about this. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing. They'll look good. They'll sound good. They'll smell good. They'll be good in what they do. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them." And this is where a lot of people go wrong, because they think if a person sounds eloquent, if they look fairly put together, if they speak with confidence, if they can strut around on the stage and look like they have that presence, then they are a true prophet. That's just an actor. Anyone can do that. But it's the fruit of their lives. What is the fruit of their lives? A good tree bears good fruit. Let's back up a little bit. "By your fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you'll recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, before we get into this passage, starting in the beginning, we're going to start at the end, because those last few verses freak Christians out. Because they hear that and they think God's talking about them, that somehow they're going to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we did all these things. And it goes through people's heads, I haven't prophesied at all. I haven't cast out a demon at all. I haven't done any miracles. If these guys did it and they're not in, then am I in? And you have to remember, Jesus here is talking about false prophets. He's not talking about people that are just in general trying to follow Christ as disciples. He's talking about people who are specifically prophets. And this is where sometimes Christians need to be a little bit wiser about things. Because sometimes we'll take a verse out of context and we'll say something like, someone without the Spirit of God cannot say Jesus is Lord. What the Apostle Paul meant by that when he wrote that is someone cannot say it with sincerity, Jesus is Lord. But trust me, people who have nothing to do with Jesus, who don't believe in him, think the whole thing's just a scam, are quite capable of uttering the words, Jesus is Lord. It's just that there's not a sincerity to it. And people can prophesy in the name of Jesus. There are whole churches that have the name of Jesus in it that don't teach the biblical Jesus. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons. They teach that God, Elohim, was born on a star or planet, depending on what version you read, called Kolob, which is actually part of the plot of Battlestar Galactica, believe it or not. And this God becomes a super evolved being this man becomes a super evolved being that becomes God. Elohim is elevated to God status. He has a wife. He has kids. One of his kids is Jesus. Another kid is Lucifer. And there's a whole bunch of others as well. This is craziness. Just because it says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doesn't mean they're teaching the truth. And yet Jesus is in there. Jesus is in their scriptures. There's the Book of Mormon that takes place in South America, which there isn't a shred of archaeological evidence for whatsoever, but it's there and people believe it. Jehovah's Witnesses. We witness to Jehovah. It was started by a guy named Charles Taze Russell, who was a con man who sold things like miracle wheat that you can get, and you could get, you know, lots of money if you plant miracle wheat. They said the grains were the size of a rugby ball. They said football, but you guys might be more familiar with a rugby ball. But the idea is it's craziness. And yet these churches are growing. You go down to the Dusseldorf Hauptbahnhof, you're going to always see someone standing there with their little Watchtower magazine. Those are the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in the biblical Jesus. They can talk about it. They'll talk about it, but they don't believe it. They don't believe in the biblical Jesus. They believe what they believe with intensity, but what they believe is wrong. And these are examples of churches that are so big now, faiths that are so big that people just kind of almost assume that they must be okay if they're that big. Islam, you know, the Quran talks more about Jesus as a character than any other character. More than Muhammad, Jesus is mentioned. And it's interesting that in the Quran, Jesus preaches as an infant. He's born and he begins preaching, hey, this is what you need to know. We don't even have that in the Bible. I mean, our Jesus is born like a baby, and he's raised, and we don't really hear much about him until he's about 12 years old, and then we meet up with him when he's about 30 years old. In other words, it's a pretty honest view of the life of a person. We don't have the story where he pops out, begins to preach as an infant, only to say, I'm not really divine. I'm just a prophet. And this is craziness. Why would you have this baby preaching that he's not divine? Maybe it has something to do with Islam. Came around about 600 years after Christ. And Muhammad himself was married to a Christian who was a Nestorian, who was a heretic. Nestor taught crazy stuff. And one of Muhammad's wives was a Nestorian Christian. So he learned about Christ from a heretic. It's all over the world, and it impacts us today. So why is this such a big deal? What is prophecy? Prophecy is speaking as God. This is why it's a big deal. This is not preaching. This is not teaching. This is speaking as God. God says, and then it's said. And when you speak as God, man, that's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal to be speaking as God. Ezekiel, one of the Old Testament prophets, here's an example where you can see it. This is where he's actually speaking as a prophet about false prophets. And the prophets would say something like, the word of the Lord came to me. In other words, God said this. And then they begin to say, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. It kind of sticks in that one word there, doesn't he? Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophet who follows their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among the ruins. I love this phrase, they prophesy out of their own imagination, because this is what a false prophet does. They haven't seen anything. I mean, maybe some of them are a little bit mentally ill and they think they've seen something. But for the most part, they know this is a joke. And let me give you an example. There's a guy named Peter Popoff in the U.S. And on TV, late at night, like 3 o'clock in the morning, you can see these commercials and you can get free miracle spring water. You just call the number, which I blanked out because I don't want anyone calling the number. And you'll get this little thing, this little packet of, just like there, miracle spring water. And if you call now, you can get the free, larger version of the miracle spring water. This isn't a joke. This is a real commercial. And this miracle spring water, depending on what you need, can do different things. If you're in credit card debt, you can take it and sprinkle it over your credit card, and your credit card debt will go away. If you're sick, you can drink it. If you want a new car, you go to the car lot and you anoint that car so that God will consecrate it for you. A lot of these false prophets use big religious words. Consecrate the car for thine sacerdotal purposes. You know, it's part of the stuff you don't really even understand what they're saying, but it sounds like you're going to get the car, and that's the big idea. So just call now, and you'll get this miracle spring water. And if you really want to prove that you have faith, you'll send a donation along with it. So that little ketchup packet of water has a little extra oomph, depending on how much money you send with it. So if you have a cold, just send for it free. But if you have cancer, you should add some money to it. It'll up the power. And they are crass enough to be that straightforward with it. And unfortunately, it must work, because this guy not only sells miracle spring water, he also sells miracle manna. The manna from heaven, he's got it. It's in a little package, and he can send it to you. Miracle manna. Just call Peter Popoff. And there is a number under there, and I will not tell you what it is. So why does this happen then? Why are we so willing to be misled and blind? Why? How can something as dumb as this actually gain an audience? And it does. Trust me, it does gain an audience. How? Why? Well, it's because a lot of Christians, or a lot of people that want to claim to be Christians, are biblically illiterate. Just like Jim Baker never read the Bible until he was in prison, and yet he was placed upon a stage and told other people that he was being spoken to directly by God. Had never read the Bible. He was biblically illiterate, and the people who followed him were biblically illiterate, because you'd have to be to listen to this guy and think that what he's saying is true. But the other thing is we tend to fall in love with personalities. We tend to love this person. Well, you know, he was nice. He looked kind. And Tammy, you know, Tammy was kind of a mess, but she had a sweet voice and all this. And we kind of fall in love with people to the point that we will allow them to lie to us about the most important of things, which is God. And when we allow people to lie to us about the things which are important, such as God, the stakes are very high. And those stakes can sometimes lead people into ruin. Which is one reason why in the Old Testament they talked about killing the false prophet. And I know in our day and age we're like, oh, that seems so harsh. But these folks do incredible damage. Here's an example. When I was in seminary, there was this guy named Harold Camping. Harold Camping was this guy who owned a bunch of radio stations in the San Francisco Bay Area. I went to seminary in a little town called Mill Valley, which was on the San Francisco Bay. And he had these radio stations, and then they were bizarre because they would play contemporary Christian music, and then he would preach. And he was for sure back in the 90s, I was in seminary at this time in 94, the world's coming to an end. September 7th, 1994, it was going to come to an end. And he preached it. You know what people did, his followers? They began selling their homes, giving him the money so that he could buy more radio stations to spread the news far, even more, far and wide around the United States and the world if they could. They quit their jobs because, hey, if the world's ending, what am I working for? And they gave away stuff. And 1994 came, and it went. And it wasn't the end of time. It wasn't the second coming. And you didn't hear much about him for a while. Then in 2011, he said, May 21st, God is going to, it's the end, it's going to be the end, May 21st. People did the same stupid thing. They quit their jobs, they sold their houses, they gave him the money so he could spread the message far and wide. And May 21st came and went, and he said, well, God in his graciousness, because you responded with such faith, has extended the time to October 21st. So continue to buy your, send your money, quit your job, send the money to me so I can spread the truth. And this billboard was actually meant to be kind of a joke, third time's a charm, you know, trying to wake people up that this guy's lying to you. But he's not the only one that's done this. Jehovah's Witnesses have prophetically claimed the second coming of Jesus Christ and of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They even built a house for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Did you know that? A house was built in Hollywood for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to live in by the second guy that led the Jehovah's Witnesses. His name was Judge Rutherford. He had a house built. None of these things came true. None! And yet people still stand in the Hauptbahnhof with their magazines, hoping that they're one of the 144,000 that get to go to heaven. It's crazy. Crazy. You know, it's so discouraged me over the years that I actually thought, you know, maybe if I was just a little bit crazy, that would help the church grow. I don't want to say anything heretical, but if I was just a little bit nuts, you know, like, what could I do? You know, like claim I came from the dark side of the moon or something like that. Just something a little bit crazy. Because, man, people love themselves some crazy. And that's what these folks are. They're nuts. There's this other guy, his name was Kim Clement. He came from South Africa. South Africa, for a while, in the last 15 years, has been kind of the pipeline of false prophets. There have been a lot. And I'm not saying that to bash any South Africans, because South Africa is a far second to the United States in the amount of false prophets that have come out of the United States. But this guy, he would play his piano while he made prophecy. And so many of the things he said were wrong. And this is one of the ones I remember watching him. He's going like, George Bush, he's going to be lifted up as a world unifier as he brings together the Middle East through the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. Praise the Lord. Did that happen? I mean, maybe in an alternate universe, but the one I live in, that didn't happen. But people threw money at this guy. They go to his concerts like it's a rock concert with prophecy. Very bizarre. He since has passed away too, because apparently the health and wealth gospel let the dude down. But what should you say then? What should you do when someone says, God says to me, or this is what God has said? Well, this is what your responsibility is. You need to look at the fruits of their prophecy. You need to look at the fruits of their life. There's so many things, there's so many bizarre scams. Like when Jim and Tammy Faye got divorced, Jim's in prison. She went and she started another church, and people went and followed. And overnight, she had a church of about 200 to 300 people meeting in a mall because it was Tammy. And people were willing, in spite of all that had gone on, the fraud, the adultery, the weirdness, the brokenness, the bad fruit in their lives, they all went. Whose fault is that? I mean, it's the false prophets, sure, but what about these folks following? Why? This is where you're responsible. You are responsible to know the Word of God and to know it well, so that you can listen to someone that's teaching and determine, is this true? You'll find, I never say, the Lord has told me outside of any kind of scripture. I will say, I'll read a scripture like the Ezekiel one, and I'll say, this is what the Lord has said. I'll point to a scripture, this is what Jesus said. But when it comes to coming up with something new and improved, which is usually what these false prophets do, that's just garbage. There's nothing that's going to be said that's going to compromise the scripture, and we'll look into that. But these folks are dangerous. And we kind of say, well, you know, it's just kind of a circus. It's kind of funny to laugh at them. But not so much. You know, in the 70s, there's this guy named Jim Jones. He wears the Catholic collar, but he wasn't Catholic, who persuaded about 1,000 people to drink cyanide-laced Kool-Aid and kill themselves. Some of you are aware of this, the Jonestown Massacre that took place in Guyana. This is where you get the phrase, sometimes you hear Americans say, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, when they don't want to agree with an idea. It comes from this. It comes from this place where there's a cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. And so if you're ever in an argument with an American, they'll go, look, I'm just not drinking the Kool-Aid. This is where it comes from. I'm not going to drink this thing that I don't think is true. I'm not going to accept it. There's another guy, David Koresh, you know, went to Jerusalem, came back believing he was Jesus. And men, women, and children burned. These guys are dangerous. These women are dangerous. Mary Baker Eddy, she founded the Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor science, and told people, don't go to the doctor, even though at the end of her life, she had a whole cadre of doctors around her trying to keep her alive. And you hear stories all the time of children dying because their parents won't take them to the doctor because they were led by a false prophetess, in that case, Mary Baker Eddy. It goes on and on and on, and these are dangerous people. And they can destroy a church in a heartbeat because sometimes they will get followers that they're either blinded by the enemy or they're just in love with the person, and they will let them lead them down into destruction. And it's important for us to understand that. So then what should we do? How do we know if someone's teaching something truth? How do you know what I'm telling you is true? Maybe all these guys are great, and I'm the one that's leading you away from them. Well, you look at what the Holy Spirit has to say. It says, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Jesus says the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be manifold, but this is one of them. This is relevant to us. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So the primary role of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the teaching aspect isn't to come up with something new, but is to remind us of what Jesus has already said. Because, brothers and sisters, we have not yet lived up to what Jesus claims that we should be. The Sermon on the Mount is a good example. If anyone ever tells you, the Bible is an old book and we've kind of evolved past that socially, you should take them to the Sermon on the Mount and say, are we living up to this standard? Are we living up to the standard of the Sermon on the Mount, where we are to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us? Are we living up to the standard that if someone, slaps us with one hand, we turn the other cheek instead of giving them retribution? Are we living up to the standard of generosity? Are we living up to the standard of love? Well, I can tell you the answer in case you guys don't know. No, we're not. So we have not yet grown past the Bible. We're not even close to where we should be with it. And so when someone says, we've kind of grown past the Bible, usually they're talking about a social issue in particular. You just point to the Sermon on the Mount and ask them, are we living up to the standard? No? Then we still have a ways to go. We should maybe just keep following what it says. And that's the main role of the Holy Spirit, to teach you what Christ has already said, to remind you of everything he said. But there are times of something new. He says this. Again, Jesus is speaking here. Thus saith the Lord. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then this is important. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. So in those times when it's the yet to come thing, he's not going to go off on his own. It is going to stay consistent with what you see in the rest of Scripture. So what's a good example of this? Well, the Scripture tells us that at the end of time, it's be like a woman in childbirth. There's going to be things that happen, and then things kind of calm down, and then there'll be that contraction of pain, and then it calms down, and then there's the contraction of pain, calms down, contraction of pain, calms down, contraction, contraction, contraction. Jesus, that's how he describes how the end will be. It'll start out, there's bad things, and it calms down. Then there's like, this thing looks like it's going to take over the world. It kind of goes away, and then it happens more quickly. Jesus says you should be aware of the signs going on around you. But when someone gives you the exact date and month and year of the second coming of Christ, Jesus said in the Scriptures, only the Father knows this. Only the Father knows this. And if someone comes up and says, I have the exact date, month, and year that it's going to happen, that's where you say, you're going outside of the Scripture. You're being inconsistent with the Scripture. If someone says, look at the signs, okay, maybe. Look at the signs. Maybe we're in the midst of a sign right now. But when it comes down to saying, so if I were to say, well, the coronavirus is a sign that we're drawing close to the end. Well, I guess that's kind of a vague statement. Every day that passes is this day closer to the end. But if I were to say, therefore, because of the coronavirus, you better mark your calendar for September 23rd, 2020, because maybe that's it. Now I've gone past. Now I've gone into a place that's inconsistent with the scripture, because Jesus himself says, only the Father knows the day and the time. And I'm not the Father. You're not the Father. No one else out there who claims they know the day and the time is the Father. They are a false prophet, period. And that's really, it doesn't need to be much deeper than that to try and to see the truth. And if a person is a false prophet in this place, you should just shut down listening to them. Don't listen to them. Don't send money. End their influence by ignoring them. Shut it down. Don't allow, well, they're a false prophet in this, but they're really cool about how they explain this part of the scripture. Who cares? Satan can be a little bit of light and a lot of darkness. Or he can be even a lot of light and a little darkness if that's all it takes to lead you into a place of destruction. Don't give them the time of day. Don't listen to them. And don't try and compare and say, well, this teaching was true. Yeah, sometimes some of the teaching is true. But that doesn't remove the fact that a lot of their teaching is false. Or even just a little bit of their teaching is false. I might make a mistake. I might say something that's factually, I've had sometimes people come back and say, you know, that's not exactly what the scripture said, and we've kind of gone through it, and I realize sometimes, kind of made a mistake there. But that's totally different. That's just, you know, that's something I have to go back and try and fix up and put back into place. But that's far different from saying the Lord has said and then just give you a complete line of nonsense in order to benefit myself. Wake up. We need to all wake up, because that is one of the things at the end time, that there will be a lot of deception in the name of Jesus. And don't be confused. A false prophet can claim, Jesus told me. A false prophet can claim, I did these miracles. A false prophet can even probably do something because Satan is quite able to do stuff in order to deceive. You have to look at the fruit of their life and the consistency of their teaching. Because the truth is, this is what the world sees. The world sees the circus of Christianity. The world sees the nonsense. The world sees these late night ads for Miracle Spring Water. And to be honest, if I hadn't been blessed by having healthy churches around me and Christians that at least were willing to give the truth of the scripture as well as they understood it without their craziness. If I was a non-believer and I saw Peter pop off trying to sell me Miracle Spring Water, and if I was convinced that this is what Christianity was about, I wouldn't become a Christian. I mean, I'm not that dumb. And this is what a lot of the world thinks Christianity is about. Because these are the folks that are on TV. These are the folks that are out there on the radio. These are the folks that are broadcasting their lies. And it's you who are a believer, who are biblical, that are going to have to go in and be able to share with folks, this is not true. This is what the Word says. This is what the Scripture says. This is what Jesus actually says. That's your role. This is where you are ambassadors in the world. And don't get caught up in all that nonsense. Watch out for false prophets. They come in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. So may we be diligent and discerning in what we listen to and what we follow. There's this great story out of Acts chapter 19. I love the story. These two sons of a local high priest, they decide they're going to go cast out a demon. And you can read this later on. It's 19. I didn't write it down, so I don't have it on the screen. But anyways, they go to cast out this demon, and this is what they do. They walk up to this demon-possessed guy, and they say, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, be gone. And this demon responds to him. He goes, well, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you. And the scripture says that he beat them, and they left bleeding and naked, running away from this guy, because they thought just by popping out the name of Jesus is magic. And this is what false prophecy really tries to do. Just say the name of Jesus and it'll happen. Sprinkle the name of Jesus over your bank account. Magic will happen. Sprinkle that car with that miracle spring water. Magic will happen. We don't believe in a magic God. We believe in a God of truth, a God of hope, a God that wants to develop you far beyond your own sense of what you think you're worth, who could care less about your bank account, who really isn't that concerned about your career. He's more about who you're being as a human being, as a follower of Christ. Are you willing to be transformed and molded by him to be the person he wants you to be? If you are, then you're in Christ. If you think he's magic, you're following something that's false. So may we be vigilant in discerning to who we listen to and what we follow. And know the scripture. Know the scripture well. And I know this is a lifetime journey. I'm on that same lifetime journey. One of the biggest benefits I get out of being a pastor is I'm forced to study the Bible. To be honest with you, I probably wouldn't be that great a Christian if I weren't a pastor. Because I'm just not that holy, really. But I'm forced to study the Bible because I'm expected to. God has called me to be a leader. A lot of pastors, when you ask them, why did God call you to be a pastor? A lot of them, their answer is, I have no idea. This wasn't nothing that anyone saw in my life coming, including me. And do you think that you're the holiest one of the bunch? No. Most often, pastors will think, they're like almost a pretender. You know, why am I here? But when it comes back to that place of knowing the word, God can take the jar of clay. I was talking to Lindsay, that place in our weakness, God is made strong. In our incapability, God's capability is lifted up. And this is where you are as well. You may not think too highly of yourself as a believer, and that's good. You shouldn't. You should be humble. But don't underestimate the impact you can have in the world. And you need to be salt, and you need to be light. And the world needs to know that our faith isn't about miracle spring water. Our faith isn't about your growing bank account. Our faith isn't about having a crowdfunding effort so a certain pastor can have a luxury jet plane in order to fly around the world to preach. But our faith is about the crucified Savior who is willing to die for our sake. That's what we took the communion for, die for our sake, so that we could die to self and have eternal life in Christ. And the fruit by which you should be known is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, against which there is no law. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth in your word. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us as we are in this world of the internet, the world of online, the world of, you know, what used to be restricted to television is now pretty much at the fingertips of anybody. And frankly, the world of YouTube, which I like YouTube, but man, there's some crazy false stuff on YouTube, Lord. And people watch it and believe it, and oh, it's heartbreaking. So Father, we pray. We can't stop YouTube, or we not necessarily we'd want to, but in those opportunities that we have to share the truth, be it with our families or be it with our friends or our coworkers, may we do so with gentleness and respect, but may we do so bringing people back to the truth. And may we remind people that where some false teachers say God wants to prosper us and make us rich, Jesus told us that the only thing he could really promise us was suffering for his name's sake. Where they tell us that, oh, you know, if you're not healthy, then you're not really blessed by God. And may we remember the Apostle Paul talked often about a thorn that he had that was never taken away, and that he struggled with sickness and with health, and yet was probably outside of Jesus and maybe Peter, the most influential person in the world. And Lord, may we point people to the fact that Jesus himself said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He's not walking around in a Rolex in a nice suit. The only time that royal robes during his earthly life were placed upon the shoulders of Jesus was when he was being mocked and when he was being beaten and taken to the cross. So, Father, may we be that place of light and that place of hope in a world that is just becoming more and more confused. May we keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.